Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. I am Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer here with an edition of StarCast for Thursday, the 9th of July, 2026. Welcome and thank you for joining me. The horoscope is off this week. My assiduous editorial team has pulled together an edition of Planet Waves for you, and I am here with StarCast. Horoscope will be back next week when I will be covering the opposition of Jupiter and Pluto. I'll be talking a little bit about that in this program. That is what everything is leading up to right now, the opposition of Pluto and Jupiter. That's across Leo and Aquarius. There's more to the picture, and I'll tell you a bit about that, and then have much more information for you 1 week from today. First couple of house announcements. The Planet Waves mid-year reading, that is to say family constellations, a beautiful thing. This mid-year project was initiated as a fundraiser for Planet Waves about 12 years ago. It's back to being that, and I thought that instead of doing just a straight 12-sign reading, I would kind of outdo myself a little bit, which is one of my favorite hobbies, and organize the wise elders of the Planet Waves community, including one junior elder, and then several elders, various people who have been contributing to Planet Waves for a long time. My definition of an elder is over 50, in the sense of tribal elder, not like you get a discount at the movie theater. And it's really a thing of beauty. And there's something in it for everyone. It's not a homework assignment. I have done my best to lay out a buffet of different issues and themes and topics of discussion, all of them related to family. It's probably not what you're expecting, so keep an open mind. The conversations are lighthearted. And my role in all of this has been to kind of bring my journalistic ability to get reliable, accurate, and honest sources together, and then talk about the situation that we as individuals and families and society are in right now. So please avail yourself of this thing of beauty. It is timeless. These issues will be important in 2 days and 20 years. And I also include a good helping of astrology, a lot of delineation of the small planets that make up what I'm calling the family Hunger Games pattern, including the articles, all wonderful stuff. I'll continue to send you offers in separate emails for how to sign up for this. All right. And if you're looking for a discount coupon, which we discount a lot of things, but I realize the times we're in require that. So drop a note to CS, that's client services, CS at planetwaves.net. We will take care of you. Thank you to all of those who are listening, who participated in the interviews. Everyone donated their time. Some very talented therapists and other wise beings. Okay, so as of this recording, the sun is just about to make a conjunction to Chiron. I am working on Wednesday afternoon, and so by the time you're hearing this, the sun's going to be making its way across mid Taurus. Sorry, the moon. Forget I said the sun. The moon is going to be making its way across mid Taurus, and the sun is at a little bit past the midpoint of the sign Cancer. That midpoint of the sign Cancer is a sensitive spot in the zodiac. It is actually the rising degree of a hypothetical, a lot of hypotheticals in astrology, you got to get used to it, hypothetical chart called the Thema Mundi, rarely spoken about as the practical common sense thing that it is, and so the sun has just crossed the ascendant of one of the oldest documents in all of astrology, dating to about the 4th century BCE. That's pretty much irrelevant information, but I just thought I would mention it while it is looking at me in the chart. So The two events that I have charted for this week are the interior conjunction of Mercury and the Sun. That is on Sunday, the 12th of July. And that's followed 2 days later by the Moon-Sun conjunction. That's the new moon in Cancer at about 22 degrees of Cancer. And so we have two important solar events. One of them involves Mercury and the Sun aligning, and then the second one involves the Moon and the Sun involving and aligning. And these are steps on the way to this, what is in truth, a grand cross alignment, a very powerful grand cross alignment. That is to say, four groups of planets at 90 degrees to one another, making a square or cross pattern, depending on how you think of it. And so let's just check these out. It may be a little bit easier to speak generally and then get to the theme, because astrology is like a raft. And once we use the raft to get to the other shore, which is the thing that we're talking about, it's good to leave the raft back on the beach till maybe you need it again, and then stick to the thing that is the subject of the discussion. All right, so what we have in both of these events is the Sun creeping up on Eris. Sun's in Cancer. Eris is at about 26, right at the end of degree 26 of Aries. And the Sun is in the early 20s. So the Sun is just day by day moving a little closer to a square to Eris. And then there's events that lead to that. So first there's the Mercury-Sun conjunction. Then there's the Moon-Sun conjunction. And these increase the temperature a little bit, you might say. They raise the emphasis on Eris. Now, you have heard my discussion of Eris, my delineation of Eris, and I realize that, you know, you're not going to be able to go verify this or validate this by going to other astrologers and seeing what they say. They are unlikely to say this. I'm never really asked about it, and I've been developing a delineation and interpretation of Eris since a few months after it was named, back in the summer of 2006. Now we're coming up on the how many year anniversary of the naming of Eris, designation of Eris as a dwarf planet, the so-called demotion of Pluto. And my theory of Eris has been, and I wrote the first monograph about Eris, and I can see my notes in there, that this has something to do with the psychic effects of the digital environment on individuals, on self-concept, on relationships, and what is happening in society. Now, I say this not to prove some kind of an astrological point, but as a way of using a point called Eris to map out this phenomenon. Now, so we're going to have a lot of contact with Eris, and then at the point where there is the opposition, let's go to that one. Hold on, I've got one of my old computers open. At the point where Pluto, which is newly in Aquarius, and Jupiter, which is very newly in Leo, form their one and only opposition for this cycle, the Sun is in a pretty good square to Eris. So that just elaborates on the story. And it's hard to describe this, but everyone knows that you're feeling something really weird right now. And people like to use the word overwhelmed. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. Well, that's the kind of thing you can slow down and take down a few layers. And you might think, oh, I'm so overwhelmed by everything happening in the world and everything is going so fast and all that. The overwhelming bit has a lot to do with a sense of meaninglessness, a sense of disrupted inner awareness, and reaching for the inner awareness that would help guide you through the emotions, the feelings, and the events of the world, but not having access to that inner awareness as a consequence of this constant overexposure to digital conditions. Now, as I've said, a lot of times I have spent the last year we listening to videos about the AI situation. We started reading, especially my friends Elizabeth and Sean and Jessica and Jeff and others, reading hundreds and hundreds of articles. And I've been more involved in studying YouTube, and so I took the opportunity to start listening to presenters on YouTube describing what they thought of as this situation. Now, AI is an extension of the entire digital environment. It goes back a long time. And the thing about environments is that they are almost unnoticeable. Like, you start to notice the air when the air gets oppressive or when there's smoke in the air. You notice electricity when it goes out. Otherwise, the electricity environment is invisible. And it's very similar to this with the digital environment. So it's very difficult to see. It's very difficult to study. It's the things that people say about it tend to be unpersuasive because it's hard to get anybody to agree with you. But because I have, you know, made such a focus in my life on studying the nature of media environments, long before the launch of ChatGPT, well, I at least knew what to go looking for. I at least knew how to organize my search for what these influences are. And, you know, you may have heard me talk about a little passage from Eric McLuhan that I have quoted dozens of times and, you know, recited and made it into poetry. And here's what Eric McLuhan wrote. This probably was around 2015. He wrote, "The body is everywhere assaulted by all of our new media. A state that, you have to think about that for a second, that the body is assaulted by all of our new media." And you define new media as you want. I would say that it's basically everything from the iPhone forward right now. So that's 2007. "A state which has resulted in deep disorientation of intellect and destabilization of culture throughout the world. In the age of disembodied communication, the meaning and significance and experience of the body is utterly transformed and distorted." To me, if we talk about Eris as representing chaos in Roman, I was going to say German, in Roman mythology, it is Discordia, same entity. In Greek, it's Eris. And in astrology, people just say, oh, chaos. Okay, yeah, but what chaos? And when you start to study the charts of the evolution of the digital environment and the internet and of AI, you see Eris showing up over and over again prominently and always in Aries. This all begins in the 1920s. All right. So when we have a situation with such personal representatives, the moon, the sun, and Mercury leaning in to Eris like this, this is an invitation to consider what you're feeling and what you are experiencing in a way that is slightly more coherent than just kind of being tired and overwhelmed and having had a little bit too much and you're sick of your computer and all this. This is all going much deeper. And the thing that it's about is the sense of a loss of interior awareness, of interior consciousness, the destabilization of intellect and culture, disorientation of intellect and destabilization of culture because of disembodied communication. Now, what do you do with this? And I think that we're likely to be feeling a kind of a inflammation of this. First, as the sun, the moon, and Mercury make their approach to Eris, and then as Jupiter and Pluto form this very fancy opposition and grand cross pattern in the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, the four signs on the world or the universe tarot card. They're the four signs described in the book of Revelation, you know, the eagle and all that stuff, you know, on the cover of the Barbara Hand Cloud book about the Pleiadian and Gentile, all this stuff. Okay, so they're important. Those fixed signs are very important stabilizing factors. And what we're talking about is destabilization. This all puts a lot of responsibility on us to do two things. To work for our own continuity and coherence. One of the most important effects of the digital environment is it breaks down continuity, it breaks down coherence, and makes it nearly impossible to have any concept of the passage of time or the meaning of events in any sequence. Now, we might just throw it in and say, well, forget it. Everything's meaningless. I mean, the first lesson of A Course in Miracles is nothing I see means anything. And later in that same week, these thoughts do not mean anything. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Well, the project of A Course in Miracles is to connect inwardly with the cohesion that exists within you on a much deeper level than all of this discontinuity, chaos, shake-up, mix-up, the ripping apart of the fabric of thought and of time and of society and of relationships, and do your best to do the opposite of what the digital environment is trying to have you do, which is to turn your awareness toward your own inner cohesion. There has never been a greater spiritual challenge. And I get that it seems like trying to stay dry in the middle of a hurricane and tsunami. But that dry spot, that place where there is that, I don't want to use religious terminology, but there's every spiritual path describes it and then kind of glosses it over and says, you know, but come to church. You know, you don't need to. You need to just keep your focus inward on this cohesion. And it takes training. A big part of A Course in Miracles is the training process to get you, to remind you to stay in contact with the part of your mind that has inner cohesion. And then you work from that spot and not from the place of being overwhelmed. That is totally an ego state. The ego already has continuity problems. It has a fear problem. It has a guilt problem. It never worked so well at all in the first place. But now, because of the association with the body and the ego, both are under assault by all of our new media, resulting in the deep disorientation of intellect and destabilization of culture. So it is up to us to tune inward, to keep our focus inward. Now, the reason that inward focus is so challenging is because the entire nature of the internet, while it may seem like an inner trip, is actually a kind of splattering of consciousness on externals, which you can think of as screens. You can think of them as people acting like they are on screens. It is a scooping out and splattering against the wall of interior consciousness. This is the frustration. This is the challenge. This is the digital haze. This is the sense of being dismembered, of being taken outside of oneself. It is the sense of meaninglessness. Okay. So, it has never been more important, it's never been more important that we learn how to bring our awareness back inside of ourselves and to recognize that that comes with a whole different set of experiences, feelings, emotions, and perceptions. And I get that the world is really weird right now. We don't recognize just how weird, and I am also aware that there are people in places where things seem fairly normal, where they seem fairly okay, where there are social events that seem cohesive and, other things that bring people together. There are some people whose relationships don't seem to be too troubled by this. And the chances are that those who are feeling more grounded and centered in themselves in the midst of those social experiences are the ones who are doing what I would call their spiritual work. And by spiritual work, I'm not talking about like the 12-step program. I am talking about, A Course in Miracles is like the 365-step program. Only conveniently, it's one a day. The ability to just, in a disciplined way, focus inwardly. There are certain people whose daily work requires inner focus. I am one of them. The only way that I can bring you this much cohesive idea, language, art, whatever it might be that I'm communicating in, is because the locus of my identity is interior. I'm not looking around me for my identity. And so you therefore take those opportunities when you see yourself looking for your identity outside of yourself and bring it back into yourself. Bring your awareness back into yourself. There you will find cohesion. You will find a sense of continuity, a sense of meaning. The world may still be a frustrating place. Now remember, I'm saying all of this because the cue, which is all astrology really is for me, it's a cue of when to talk about a certain theme. The cue is that we're having first Sun Mercury, then Moon Sun, leaning into, pushing on a 90-degree angle to Eris, which is talking about the chaos of this loss of continuity and the destabilization of intellect and culture. And when you're listening to astrologers attempt to delineate a planet that you're not familiar with, there needs to be a practical side to this. It's not merely about saying that Salacia has mermaid energy. I don't know what anyone would ever do with that except draw a little picture of a mermaid. That would probably be an appropriate response. Salacia's got nothing to do with mermaid energy. Something much more important going on. And it's highlighted right now. That you will hear a lot about in the family pattern astrology videos. Okay. Now, while all of this is happening, Jupiter is moving into an opposition with Pluto. This is happening in early Aquarius. Even though Pluto has been moving into Aquarius for a few years. Really, we're now in, it starts in 23, and 24 is when the transition happens. And right then we have the United States Pluto return, which we're really still in, but the peak of the U.S. Pluto return is in about 23, 24 in the first degree of Aquarius. Now we're having another series of events involving Pluto and Aquarius. And the first one is that relatively quick-moving Jupiter makes an opposition. That's a big deal. It's going to be one and done. It's going to move on. Jupiter's not going to retrograde back anywhere near Pluto when it makes its retrograde later in the year. Further, there's a number of planets involved. There's a hypothetical called Vulcanus, which Jupiter will be forming a conjunction to. This is a lot of energy coming up out of the ground. And it's very tight. The aspect pattern is very tight. So it's actually Jupiter, Vulcanus, opposite Pluto. Pluto is now taking a conjunction from Juno. I think asteroid number 3. Hold on, let me get that straight. Correct. Minor planet number 3, conveniently on the Serenu website, right there. On every single time you pull up the ephemeris, you see that it's 3 Juno. So what is Juno? So Juno, this is very intense, because whatever Pluto is going to be modified by Juno, and they're both retrograde. Whatever Juno is going to be intensified by Pluto. So Juno and Pluto have a lot, well, Juno, the consort of Zeus or Jupiter, has a jealous and competitive quality to it. It is the bone of contention. Asteroid Juno. When you think of Juno, think of the bone of contention. The thing in the relationship that just like the thing that just keeps coming up, and this is pure game. Basically, game, bad habit. Games are bad habits, and all games are designed to interfere with intimacy. This is straight out of Games People Play by Dr. Eric Byrne, worth reading in our time. So what's that about? What, you know, Jupiter magnifies. Aquarius talks about group relationships. And I will tell you that if you're listening to Planet Waves FM, which will also be off, but the last couple of shows, particularly this past Friday's, have been right on a couple of issues. There's a lot of group gaming of the bone of contention. What I'm covering the entirely fraudulent anti-vaccine movement. This is a whole group affair, with certain bigwigs playing the role of Jupiter and Leo. You know, they're all heroic and stuff. And then when in the end, you find out nothing is happening. It's just all this disinformation being spread. That's kind of Juno. And the other way that that's Juno, just to give one illustration, is Juno has an activist quality. And I thought, I got that delineation from Martha Westcott. And if I read the delineation of somebody whose work I respect, I will leave it face up on the table, and I'll look around and I'll wait and I'll look and see if it starts to appear in charts, not so much by power of suggestion, but it's actually there, and you can't deny that it's got a presence. Well, Juno has this activist quality to it. It took me a little while, but I'm like, oh, that, you know, what is Juno doing in that chart? Like, I'm like, oh, there's another side to Juno that I wasn't paying attention to. It's not anybody's wife in this case. There's this just kind of provocateur quality, but they are both retrograde. So the retrograde adds a subversive quality, because retrogrades always hide the primary action of the planet. They are a little, they're almost like a cloak of invisibility, which Pluto already has. And then there's all this plutonic stuff going on, both with Juno. Juno's very plutonic without any Pluto at all. That's just going to have Pluto. And then this is opposed by Jupiter and Vulcanus. So this is, it gets larger. This is a magnification thing. And then Chiron is in the picture. Chiron in early Taurus. There's no way. It's by degree. I use tight orbs by degree. It's 3 degrees out of Jupiter. It's 4 degrees out of Pluto. It doesn't matter. That is tight enough for my work, and particularly that Chiron in Taurus is such an important new influence. And then there's Haumea in Scorpio. Now that is interesting. Now, I have been watching Haumea since the discovery, since the naming. It is officially a dwarf planet, and Haumea is one of the ones that I find it difficult to pick up a signal on. But let's just talk mythologically, which is only a small part of the delineation, but sometimes it can be an integral part. It is one of those many now slow movers named for goddesses of childbirth and fertility. And it's in Scorpio, a sign associated with death and transformation. So we have a little image of death and transformation here. The thing is that I would never predict this. Transformation, growth, death and transformation means kind of like ego death and associated with growth. So if I'm working with someone as their astrologer, well, then I'm in a position to have a real conversation. But once I leave that intimate one-on-one setting, or maybe a discussion in a small group of some kind, this is just a meaningless concept, particularly on a cultural level. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying that to talk about it is not especially helpful, or to predict it in some way. And to say, oh, how wonderful, we're going to have death and transformation. Yeah, well, you know, it's like, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. But where does that hand grip the wood? What's the part of that that is real? And I think that what is so important that we do right now, and the transformation that we need profoundly right now, is a transformation associated with, are we aware of the environment that we are in and what we are, what it is doing to us, or not? Are we caught in the digital haze, the frustration, the tiredness, and the almost subliminal meaninglessness and incohesion? It's hard to know when you're very confused. If you know you're confused, that's really pretty good. Because then you could say, I'm confused. I am taken apart. That's what confused means. Fused means together. Con means the opposite of fused. So if you're confused, you're broken into parts. And so the answer to confused is a kind of fusion, you know, Asian fusion. You have a little sushi with your pad thai. Or that turning inward, that turning toward the inner light. All right, that is what I have to say to you, for you, with you this week. Thank you to the crew at Planet Waves, who is going through this little exercise of assembling editions. My part is to contribute a little editing here and there, and StarCast, and a new picture every week. And so I'm going to be having these intermittent weeks off from the horoscope just to give myself a little breather, to do my own turning toward inner maintenance work, some maintenance work on Planet Waves, the parts you can't really see too much. And I continue to be with you and to be available. I can be reached directly at efc@planetwaves.net. Email me twice just to make sure that I see it. And then if you're looking for anyone else, or just need help generally, have a query about subscribing, or the family constellations pattern, or something like that, drop us a note at cs@planetwaves.net. My number, as always, is published, 845-331-0355, before 10 o'clock Eastern Time. This is fine. Any time before 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and after about 8 o'clock, and then you'll have me in a coherent state. All right. Thank you to all who subscribe, to my clients, my customers, other forms of supporters, volunteers, financial supporters, and everyone who pulls this all together every day and every week. Y'all know who you are. Big hug. Signing off from the Harshaw House. Lots of love. And bye for now.